Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Might be better than Carson Beck, might be a better college player.
Because Georgia, probably like Ohio State did with Cardale Jones, or when Alabama had Tua behind Jalen Hurts, they just recruit. There's five guys on the roster who are all five-star guys, and probably the difference between one to the next is
if Ohio
marginal.
State played their third string across the board against Pitt, would they win?
Oh, that is a great question. I'm going to say yes, they would.
Because,
I'm going to say they would.
So I'm talking about wide receiver four is their starting wide receiver, their number one guy for that game and all that. By the way, River Sports Betting Hour, here's a bet I feel like is a safe one, boys, that I think I just want to bet the overs on both of these just because. Mike Evans over five catches. Mike Evans over 85.5 yards receiving.
Oh, to keep his 1,000 yards.
No, it's not just that. It is the 85. $3 million escalator if he gets five catches and 85 yards away from... So $3 million is what kicks in if he hits both of those numbers. They need that game, obviously. I bet you Baker Mayfield will be feeding that man the football in the first half of that game. Because you know what Baker's good at? He knows all that stuff. Didn't he go and get somebody an incentive last year? I'm almost positive with the Bucks. He did something in the last game of the season to try to get a guy over the hump for
Brady
incentive.
Was great at that. He would always hook
Brady, guys up. Brady would like shamelessly do it and like flout it and be like, yeah, I love doing that.
So Notre Dame, here it is. Their history in the BCS in these big bowl games. 2000, they lost to Oregon State 41-9. 2005, they lost to Ohio State 34-20, so that's 0-2. 2006, they lost to Jamarcus Russell and LSU 41-14, 0-3.
Imagine if Russell gave a crap about
2012,
football.
When Manti Te'o had that whole made-up girlfriend scenario, they lost the national championship game to Alabama 42-14, 0-4. 2015, the Fiesta Bowl to Ohio State 44-28, 0-5. Cotton Bowl 2018, Clemson 30-3. Rose Bowl College Football Playoff 2020, 31-14 to Alabama.
They're usually fully outclassed.
And then
in these
2021
games.
To Oklahoma State, they lost by 2. That's the closest. So 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, 0-8 in these games. Then you and I both like him to beat Georgia. What the hell's wrong with us
here? I think their defense is really, really, really good.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but look at who they've played.
I understand
they play
that.
A bunch of ACC teams, and they lost to Northern Illinois, for crying out loud.
I'm aware of that, but I don't think this is... In fact, I think we all can now comfortably say this is not your usual SEC this year, and I just think that their defense is, like, good, not, oh, it's good for their schedule.
Donnie, who are you picking? You only have a few seconds before this game kicks off.
Georgia.
Yeah.
In fact, if they can make it to where they even lose the game by less than 6 points, I'm in good shape there.
Would you pick Georgia to beat Penn State?
Yes.
I would do that, even though I think Penn State man for man probably can step right up with them, just because it's an not even an anti-James Franklin. It's a, hey, James, you have to win one of these kinds of games before I give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, but
for 1 second.
You just gave Notre Dame the benefit of the doubt without them winning any of these games.
Well, I think Notre Dame would beat Penn State this year, too, so I think they're better. I think they're one, admittedly, pretty fluky loss to Northern Illinois away from having gone into this as the number one seed, which means they would have been sacrificed at the altar of Ohio's. Or wait. Were they not allowed to be the number one seed?
Notre Dame can't get a bye.
Yeah, that's right. They can't get a bye. I'm sorry. They'd have been the 5 seed. So they'd have had to deal with Scataboo.
What was Pomp's line on Scataboo?
Like, no, wait. Arizona plays. State was the 4 seed.
No, but he did that rhyme thing. I don't know what it was.
In the play, too. He's Scataboo. He was very excited to deploy that with us.
Question from a listener. Is the Steelers winning one playoff game enough? If they beat Cincy and then beat Houston, is it house money for them from then on out? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it's the equivalent to, we've just been talking college football. It's going to be like Penn State beating Boise and SMU.
It just feels like Houston is getting so...
slagged.
Slagged for how bad their offense and inconsistent they are, and they're the, you know, the best of a very weak division.
I'm not going to feel like they got the monkey off their back if they just beat 9-8 Houston team.
They're the only... I know Stroud is still probably going to end up having a very, very, very good career, but he took a step back this year. The whole team pretty much looks like they didn't really progress forward, even though their defense is pretty nasty. It just feels like you would be beating the one team, the literal one team in the AFC field, the other six, that... you probably have a chance to beat. Like everybody else, you said they were, what, a 1.5-point favorite projected in that game?
Against Houston, yeah.
What do you think, just humor me here, if all other six teams were eligible to be playing the Steelers in the first round, how much, what would be the closest spread in those games?
Where's the game?
Oh, well, the Steelers are playing every one of those other teams, let's say, on the road. Let's just, for argument's sake.
I think they could be a road favorite against Denver. I think even though they've beaten the Chargers, they would be an underdog in that game.
They'd be an underdog to Kansas City by double digits.
Eh, I don't know about that. At Kansas City. But a lot, but probably more, definitely more than a touchdown.
Okay, Kansas City, Buffalo, and
actually,
Baltimore.
I don't know about more than a touchdown. I think it'd be about around 6.5, 7.
Man, I think in some of those games it'd be like 8.5, 9. I guess that's my point. They're playing the one team that this year happens to look bad enough where like, okay, yeah, we could see them winning that game.
Donnie, job well done if they just beat Houston.
I mean, they have like killed our expectations so badly.
Who's they? The Texans or the Steelers?
No, the Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah, and you by killed, you don't mean like outdone. You mean like they have neutered our expectations for them.
Yes, whereas like every single year now, it's just, man, can they finally win a playoff game? We're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're going on a decade of them a playoff game.
Right, so if they get over the hump, though, even though it's against Houston, will you feel like, okay, mission accomplished?
I won't say mission accomplished because I feel like I won't be satisfied unless they make like a nice little run, like they stack two of them together, and they could even get blown out in an AFC championship game, and I would still say, well, they actually won 2 playoff games.
Would almost certainly require them to have beaten a team most people think is significantly better than them. You can't just say a playoff win blanket statement makes it a successful season now that we know how bad Houston is, because we all have eyes. We've all watched this team. When they've looked good, how good that's actually been, and when they've looked bad, how wretched that's been.
But what if that comes at Baltimore and not at Houston?
So that was the next thing I was going to ask. If they lose to Cincinnati, so they have one fewer win in the regular season, and then they upset the Ravens in the first round and lose in the divisional round, I look at that as mission accomplished.
So do I. I think it all matters. Like
so quality of opposition.
Yeah.
What if it's the Chargers? Could they still technically
play the Chargers?
Oh, no, it's down to Ravens-Texans.
It's either Ravens or Texans.
Yeah, okay. The Chargers just got eliminated from that pool.
If they, and it would mean that they lost to Cincinnati at home and only won 10 regular season games as opposed to 11. But as far as like how I will view their season, if they beat Baltimore, take 2 out of 3 against them, and knock that team out and ruin the Ravens' season... I'm going to feel great about this year, even if they get slaughtered by the Bills or the Chiefs in the next game.
Yeah, I do think it's dependent on who you beat. And also the fact that Jackson has now had a very good game against them. Granted, their running game really made it easy, but he still was really good. The fact that you've seen him play well against the Steelers makes beating him in the playoffs, if it came to that, a lot more impressive, because you wouldn't just be able to fall back on, well, they always shut this guy down.
I kind of feel like it would be impressive. I definitely feel like it would be impressive regardless. You don't?
Beating Lamar?
Yeah.
I don't know how you could say that, though, without having seen the most recent game, because you're the guy who says he's a completely different player in the playoffs. You just said, of course you should beat Jackson.
Yeah.
He sucks.
I don't know if I'd say if... I don't know if I would say, of course, you should beat them when you go in on a four-game losing streak. It would require them getting beat by Cincinnati on Saturday, too. I think, like, either way, even if they were to lose to Cincinnati, as long as it's not a blowout loss, I won't feel terrible about that game against Baltimore, because I just expect, for the most part, all their games against them are close. Even though the last one wasn't close.
The way the last one got away from them has me uneasy, because that's just, that was like the... That was the game of the three that they lost that I feel like should has the least amount of excuses you could surround it with.
See, I think that's
they
the
always
one
go
where
to
people
Philly
use
and
the
they
biggest
suck.
Excuse. I think people have basically said, I know I'm painting with a broad brush and I hate to do that. It's like, well, you know, outside of a couple bad plays by Russ, they actually played really well.
They got
in that
run
game.
Off the field defensively in that game. And I just think you can make the excuse of they just traditionally, for whatever it is, play poorly in Philly. Philly's got a way better roster, I would argue, too. And then the Chiefs just clearly schematically have them figured out. The Ravens are supposed to be the game of that three where they were supposed to find a way to at least drag it right to the bitter end, if not flat out win it.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. Sugar Bowl is underway. Georgia started with the ball. Gunnar Stockton in at quarterback because Carson Beck is out and headed to the NFL.
He's looked about as good as Dick Stockton would right now.
Guy looks like a 29-year-old who's planning a craft beer trip with his buddies to Asheville, North Carolina. That's
still
what he
never
looked
been
like
to Asheville for that reason.
Early pass beers. Interference penalty on Notre Dame and Georgia's.
Georgia just tried some trickeration, though.
It
I mean,
did not work.
Look at this guy.
Who's that, Gunner? He's moving.
He moved better than I thought he would on that play.
I've mostly been watching these games and trying to figure out who I want the Steelers to draft from each playoff game.
Oh, yeah. Somebody also said, based on your tweets, you want every... Or no, it was Dornan shading us, I think.
Yeah.
Shading you, saying every single guy in these games that's worth a crap will end up on the Steelers.
I like Benjamin Morrison, the corner from Notre Dame, having watched basically all their games. Is that a good pick, Steve Palazzolo, from the 33rd team? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Morrison's good. He hasn't played in weeks, but
so here's my draft
player.
Morrison first round, Abuka from Ohio State second round, Scadaboo third round. Your thoughts?
Oh, everybody wants Scadaboo in the third, especially after that playoff run. Everybody wants
could
Scadaboo.
You imagine Scadaboo and Jalen Warren, that 1-2 punch, Steve? That's getting back to old school Steelers football right there.
Yeah, he's unless the Lions steal him, and you know, he's their next David Montgomery.
God, they
dude, you just can't tackle.
You know what? For Scadaboo's sake, I actually want the Lions to pick him. I want him to. It's like wanting a puppy or a rescue to go to a good home instead of like the Steelers' offense.
Tyler texted it and said, "Scadaboo is Ron Dane, but good."
Ooh,
you like that one, Malzi?
Ron Dane. I was a big Ron Dane fan back in the late '90s. I thought he'd be much better.
Donnie, do you remember Ron Dane?
I remember big Ron Dane.
Wisconsin.
Is Igbuka, is he a guy who can actually play outside in the NFL, or do you guys see him as a slot, Steve?
I see him more of as a slot. I mean, I still have to do a little more work, you know, being more specifically on all those guys. I thought he was more of a slot, yards after the catch type of guy, what he did last night, run the seam a little bit. But yeah, I think he's more of an inside type player.
Steve, I'll give you this one. How about this as a Steelers potential draft prospect? How about that big Hoss Williams from the Ohio State defensive line? How about that mauler?
Tyleek?
Yeah, Tyleek Williams.
Oh, I like him. So I've been describing Ohio State as having like 15 second rounders. Like that feels like their roster. Everybody should be going day two, basically. He's the one guy I would consider maybe late first as a really moves well defensive tackle that is just pretty good. I think he's one of their better prospects.
When you watch these games like the Sugar Bowl right now, do you watch them as like, I am a fan of college football, I am sitting and watching this primarily to enjoy it? Or are you like looking at it from an NFL and draft perspective? I don't know if I've ever asked you something like that.
Well, now that he's being consulted by the Jets, he needs to look at it from a
I try to do it as a fan. I try to watch more as a fan, but you know, always with an eye toward the NFL. I watch the film. I got to rely on the film after the fact, though. So I do more of my draft stuff after the fact. But I get so distracted every time a guy makes a play. I'm like, oh, remember that guy. Oh, remember this thing. So I'm trying to take notes. So I do a little of everything.
Steve, on the defensive side of things, what is the issue for the Steelers that has shown up in all three of these losses?
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is you're running into some good teams. And I thought they played Baltimore great the first time around and forced Lamar Jackson into making really tight window throws. And he just made them the second time around. He missed them the first time and made them the second time. I think with Kansas City, I think you guys were probably talking about it or complaining about it at some point. It's just a bad fit. Like Brady used to do this against Pittsburgh too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You just run it. Right? Don't you just run into bad matchups? And Mahomes and the Chiefs just always seem to be a really good matchup against Pittsburgh. So I think it's a combination of good players made good plays, and they ran into good teams that, you know, faced their defense pretty well.
All right. What about Russell Wilson during this time frame here? Has he sort of, whatever you thought about him before this three-game stretch, has it appreciably changed now that you've watched him in this three-game stretch?
Obviously, there's been some bad turnovers in there, bad plays at bad times, but I kept describing him all year to you guys as raising the ceiling of the offense. That's kind of like my cop out for, hey, in any given week they're going to score 35 or 40 and you're going to be real excited about it. But it's also, in any given week, you know, they could be the same old Steelers offense. So feel the same way going into the playoffs here. If Russ hits a couple of those downfield throws, if you have a healthy George Pickens that you're relying on, the ceiling is high. But I don't trust Russ more than the other AFC quarterbacks, and never really did, even when they were, you know, rolling in the middle of the season.
Georgia's going to punt here facing a 4th and 21. They ruled it a fumble after Stockton's arm got hurt on a rush here. So Notre Dame's going to get the ball for the first time. Steve, along those lines, what would you need to see Russell Wilson do the remainder of the season to feel good about bringing him back next year?
I mean, if he went on an epic playoff run to the AFC championship and competed with Kansas City, then
okay,
you'd
so
consider
how about,
if he played like Sam Darnold.
So how about, you know, short of that, what would you do?
Oh man, I mean, I think the way the Steelers bought, you just played like the really cheap QB room, they might want to do that again. You know, do you go get Kirk Cousins on the cheap next year?
I brought that up to Malzi, and he made a noise like the one you just heard.
Yeah, he
was revulsed by it. Repulsed by it.
Like when you just feel like a little bile come up from your stomach, Steve, and you're like, oh, am I going to throw up? Am I getting sick? And then you go, not quite. He can't run play action because he can't move, and that's the only thing he's good at.
He'll be 2 years removed from the Achilles injury. You watch. Him and Rodgers are going to be moving around like spring chickens next year, coming off the Achilles. One extra year.
Well, maybe they could bring Rodgers in, because I think at least
Mike Florio put that out
into the world. And then
your boy Mike Florio, Steve.
Pony photoshopped him right into a number 12 Steelers jersey, which had people foaming at the mouth that they would give away Bradshaw's number to Aaron Rodgers.
My problem with the whole Rodgers thing is, as a play-by-play, care-about-all-the-plays analyst, obviously Rodgers has brought some baggage on top of his play, because I don't think he's been awful playing this year.
Interesting.
But clearly everything else he brought to the table, it's his offense, it's his people, it's all failed, and that's really tough to invest in.
I'm sure I'll ask you this question again, but do you think if the Vikings are really serious about just moving on from Darnold and going with J.J. McCarthy next year, do you think that's a good $40 million a year investment for the Steelers to make?
I'm more in that camp now than ever before. I'll say that. It would be a little scary having Darnold without Kevin O'Connell, but he does look like a completely different player. He doesn't have the same playmakers, right? He's got the best group of receivers. He's got a great play caller. And now Kevin O'Connell, who we've seen, elevates everybody around him. So it'd be a little bit riskier. Darnold's really impressed me. So I would not hate that as a move if he's available.
What do you think T. Higgins is going to get in free agency?
I'm starting to believe he's staying in Cincinnati, and he's in that second tier of wide receiver 130-ish range, and Cincinnati's going to try to figure out how to pay Chase 35 and him 30, which a few years ago was like the Chargers paid over 20 to both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. This would be like a new
well, look at Devontae figure out Smith how to make and A.J. that Brown.
Work. Devontae and A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
So I think Cincinnati's going to try to find a way to do it at 28 to 30, Chase at 35. Burrow, they just keep moving his money around and they build around those three.
If he doesn't stay in Cincinnati, do you see him? Like, is he a pure wide receiver one to you, or is he a one, if he's got Chase around him? Like, how do you actually view him as a top blank wide receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, he's probably the lower end of a one. Mike Evans-ish, you know, like Mike Evans gets a lot of credit for having 1,000 yards every year, but at any given point, has Mike Evans been top 8 or 10 receiver in the league? Maybe close, but I think that's Higgins. And then you look at what New England might want to give up and some other teams who are absolutely desperate. They'll treat him as a one, and I think Higgins is capable of carrying.
Would you put him ahead of Pickens?
I mean, you have to factor in some of the other stuff that's gone on here, the off field.
And yes.
You got to factor that in a little bit. On field, I think he might be a tick better, a little bit more versatile.
How many wide receivers in the NFL would you take right now over Jeremiah Smith?
Oh, boy. Like five?
That's Chase, it. Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. I start running out of names after those three.
A.J. Brown, that's it. I mean, that's... Wow. Literally it.
He's so
all
good.
He is.
He's an alien.
He's all
dude.
Those guys. He's right there with all those guys. He's so good. Do you see my tweet yesterday? Like, literally my whole timeline. He reminds me of Andre Johnson. He reminds me of Randy Moss. He reminds me of Jerry Rice.
Terrell
it's like
Owens.
Terrell Owens. He's every great receiver in history rolled into one.
Do you think the Steelers will beat the Bengals on Saturday, Steve?
I picked the Bengals on the podcast, so I think Cincinnati pulls it off with everything on the line and Burrow getting all superhuman on it. I don't know if it ends up mattering because I think Denver ends up winning, but I'll say the Bengals win this weekend.
Will the Steelers win another game before September of 2025?
So that would put them where in the first round? In Baltimore?
Not
yes.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Unless
the Chargers lost to the Raiders.
Yeah. And the Chargers are. Everybody wants that 5 seed. I know you guys would want that 5 seed. If they play the Texans, they'll win a game. They'll beat the Texans if they play them.
Steve, I'll let you get back watching Notre Dame, Georgia. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team, being consulted by the New York Jets.
Pony, yes. they're going to have, like, Notre Dame not very Christ-like right now, what they're doing to Georgia's punter. Man, they just lit him up twice.
But the second one didn't get penalized.
No, I thought both of them did. I was looking closely. I think they just were 5 yarder. Or
oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah,
two
you're
running
right.
into the kicker penalties.
The first one, well, it's plant leg. If you hit it, is the roughing the punter. The first one, he got lucky. It was not a roughing. But they are coming after this poor guy.
Notre Dame running the ball not off to a good start because they're facing 3rd and 19 right now, and they are not a pass team. They got to run it with Leonard, the quarterback, as a runner.
And what a pass that was! It actually made it back to the line of scrimmage.
See, that's the one thing about Notre Dame that maybe if you don't watch them or care about them or follow them, you don't know. They are a big-time front-running team. They cannot throw the ball. This quarterback is not a pure passer. He's a runner.
Wasn't he a decent passer at Duke?
It's interesting. I think he's a very poor man Daniel Jones, where because he's a white guy, I think he's underrated as an athlete. I'll come out and say it.
But I knew he was a good athlete at Duke, but I also thought he was better at throwing the football, man. That's what I'm saying.
No.
I knew he could run.
No, not a very good passer. And they don't have big-time receivers there anymore.
This is starting to reek like a 1st-to-16 game.
Oh, it had the lowest total. It had the lowest total by far of these games. Donnie, do you have any randos in your life that are diehard Notre Dame fans that you went to high school with or college with? Because I feel like everybody in Pittsburgh has somebody like that.
Absolutely. I mean, there were plenty of kids through like middle school and high school that were Notre Dame. I mean,
my pap is a Notre Dame fan.
My stepbrother is a big one.
Like my one buddy, he was like, yeah, my pap watches every Notre Dame game, even if they're on pay-per-view, which I don't know how that was happening in the early 1990s.
My dad will always bring up, too.
I've never heard that before.
I think he was mistaken in that assertion, but.
But my dad will bring up, and if there's anybody listening in South Greensburg, maybe our pal Jason Lilly can attest to this, Chris. Apparently that area just has a huge amount of Notre Dame fans.
Well, wait, I mean, I don't mean this to be glib at all. I mean, I went to Catholic school K through 12.
You go to Central Catholic, you root for Notre Dame.
You go to North Catholic. I do. There is a huge built-in population of Notre Dame fans who the Catholicism is part of it, man. That is the official football program of the Catholic Church. Unofficial, you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. It's like Mormons and BYU.
Yeah, it is, man. Or like, what, like evangelical Christians and Liberty.
Wait, now that makes me wonder.
What? What's wrong? Wait, what's
inaccurate about that? I never thought of it that way, but that is true.
I don't have it pulled up, but I do know that Mackie and Austin, oh, there's a nice play. Mackie and Austin did a sports movie draft today, and I really hope neither guy took Rudy.
Man. Because Rudy was a con man.
They got down the rabbit hole of sports movie draft today.
It's a Thursday of Steelers-Bengals week, like a game that still has
I heard Mackie going back and forth with people over the Pirates today. It was unbelievable.
Yeah? What was he getting into
about? The intensity of things. Well, guys were saying, start writing that people need to stop going to the games and stop watching on TV and stuff, and he got very, very animated over that. Anyways, Notre Dame punted. Georgia's got the ball back. For the uninitiated, that very serious... music bed means it is time for the Donnie football debrief. Every day at 4:30 with us, Donnie looks around and scours the football world for the biggest football story. And it is usually sponsored. At the moment, it is not. So if you want to get on board with him in 2025, contact our salespeople and do so today. Don?
The debrief, January 2, 2025. We talked about it very briefly earlier with a couple of the guys among Steelers that are going to be involved in the games. The Pro Bowl teams did get announced today, which is one of those things. It's almost to the point for me that Madden ratings are at. Like, it has become so irrelevant for me, guys getting named to the Pro Bowl games, that it's just something else for people to get unnecessarily mad at. I mean,
do the fans have a say in this again? I'm going to say this as somebody who should know this. Didn't the fans start to get like a major say in who got like, wasn't there fan voting? Isn't there a fan
voting?
Correct. Who cares then? The second that happens, who cares?
Popularity contest.
Who cares? It's the same way as the All-Star game in baseball to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't even just a shot at the Pro Bowl. Like, it's pretty much that way with every All-Star game.
How many guys are on each Pro Bowl roster? Do we have a ballpark idea? Is it an NFL roster size where it's 53 like, guys?
We have 21 on the NFC offense, 18 on their defense.
Yeah, it's like 40 on each side, I thought.
And then 5 specialists.
Yeah. Okay, 45. So it's basically an active game day roster just about.
Yeah.
So here is my idea on how to make this work. If you said each player who plays in the Pro Bowl on the winning side gets $1 million, do you think guys would try?
Tax-free?
No, it's $1 million, whatever. I mean, it's a $1 million payday.
Maybe a little bit more. I mean,
I think the younger guys who are like a Brian Thomas right now who should have been named, he'd be, I'm sure he's mad that he didn't go. Pickens seems annoyed he's not on the team, too. They'd be way more angry if there was $1 million dangling out there that they did not have.
What's the winner of the Home Run Derby get in baseball? Do they get $1 million?
God, I have no
clue. It's a big payout because I remember when Josh Bell was in it, we talked to Josh and he said, I'm going to make more money off this thing if I win it than I've made for the Pirates all year. Remember he said,
Winner $1 million, runner up 750 grand.
Remember he said, hell yeah, I'm taking this thing seriously because I'm going to make more in a exhibition than I do in a 162 game season, which is pretty jacked up. But anyways, if you could come up with a number that incentivized every guy, and
where's
it turned
that pool
into a
coming from though?
What's
like,
that?
Where's that money coming
well,
from?
Well, hear me out on this. If it turned into an event where people knew that the literal best players in the sport were going to take the game seriously, so it was honestly going to be the best game of the year.
Theoretically. Well, theoretically. No, it wouldn't, because the teams, they don't play together. There would be like
no,
very
but I'm saying
cohesion.
In terms of the well, okay, but I'm saying in terms of the quality of player, and they're going to try. It's going to be the best game.
Mm-hmm. If you would outdo the Super Bowl in the ratings.
No, it wouldn't do that. But people would watch it if they knew there was going to be a legitimate game. If people knew that was going to happen, whoever had the Pro Bowl rights, like that turns into a you know, viable game. That turns into an extra game that people want to watch. That would increase the amount of money that they got on the next TV deal, so they would be able to offset whatever money they threw at players.
I mean, quite honestly, if like Amazon wanted to buy that game, Jeff Bezos is going to find $40 million to pay every member of the winning team and the couch cushions.
That's what I mean. And so I've long said about All-Star games that they are by far the worst games, but if you could ever incentivize them, they would actually turn into the best games. The true reason, or the real reason, I think, in football why it will probably never happen is because just the injury risk. They don't want a guy
you have to play it after the Super Bowl, I think.
Sure. I mean, that's how they used to do it. No, right, but I guess you're saying then a guy would have an entire offseason to...
And also, if the guy is on a team that's still playing at that point.
Well, in this way, it would only be the Super Bowl, and guys would skip it to play in the Super Bowl anyways.
Yeah,
but if you did it after the season, I guess they could go right from the Super Bowl to the Pro Bowl.
Hey, one more game. I think it's your guys who are on their rookie deals who would be the most motivated, and there are plenty of guys who make the Pro Bowl on their rookie deals.
And especially once the Super Bowl's over, I think people would tune into an extra week of football if they knew that this was what it was going to be.
Can you imagine being like the Jacksonville long snapper is the AFC long snapper rep? Can you imagine just how hyped he would be to cover punts if he knew there was $1 million coming his way for
winning?
Think
about this, Donnie. So, who's the coach of the Pro Bowl teams? Is it still the dude that loses the conference championship game? That's how it used to be.
I don't even know if that's how they still... Because they don't play an actual game.
Right, good point. So, who even knows what they're doing with that?
I feel like normally it's just two NFL legends kind of screwing around.
So, imagine if there were big money stakes on the line. You're the coach that's got to decide for the AFC. Who do you dole out the playing time to at quarterback? Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, or Lamar Jackson? And how do you do it? That in and of itself would be fascinating. That'd fuel at least 20 minutes or a half hour of talk for us. Who do you play?
Man.
Who would you play in that situation? Basically one game to save the world. You've got Allen, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson at your disposal?
Man. I think I might play Burrow there.
Burrow.
Wow.
There's a great there's a very compelling argument for each one of them, honestly.
Allen, I think Allen's a combination of both.
But I think Jackson routinely makes the best athletes on the planet look like foolish.
Burrow's just the guy
where I feel like if I know he's getting pretty good pass protection and like are his receivers still winning, then I feel like the ball's always going to be where it needs to be when it needs to be there. But now that makes me want to keep talking
about
this.
Allen's cut down the turnovers and also has the 15 rushing touchdowns or whatever it is to go with the 28 passing touchdowns.
If Burrow gets them into the playoffs, do you think he should win it?
No. I still think it's Josh Allen.
Even though Jackson's numbers are considerably better than his?
Than whose?
They're better than Josh Allen's.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Jackson's going to throw for 4,000 and run for close to 1,000, and he's got, four picks or three picks all year. I think two of which
Allen's
are against
Allen's got,
the Steelers.
Five?
I know, but he's not putting up the overall numbers Jackson is.
His team has had a better season. Now, he did lose to Jackson, but he also doesn't have Derrick Henry running next to him. He's got James Cook.
He's got the best O-line, I would say, of Burrow and Jackson, though.
Right. I would agree with that.
You know who's getting overlooked for this because he threw a 5-interception game? Goff!
How about Mahomes?
No, he's just going to win the Super Bowl because he's going to be on his revenge tour for not even getting named to the Pro Bowl.
Georgia's driving the ball right now. There's 3 minutes to go in the first quarter here. Notre Dame went 3-and-out on its first possession, did nothing. Georgia's drive started at its own 19. Stockton completed a 13-yard pass to Bell. So he made his first big play of the game. Two more completions to Bell. third and seven, got it to him for nine. They moved into Notre Dame territory. Another Notre Dame penalty offside, set up a second and short. They converted it. Just picked up third and six with an ETN 7-yard run, so they are in the red zone right now.
Pony, best Stockton in sports history, easily, John.
Well, you brought up Dick earlier.
Dave Stockton, the golfer.
Yeah, I'd say it's John.
Dirty player, by the way. Known by his peers. Uh-oh, Piggy is on the ground.
Georgia fumble.
And Notre Dame's got it.
All the folks at the AMS club are going crazy right now.
You think Lil's there right now?
He is. He texted me.
I was going to say he might be a little light because in the wallet because he did not win the fantasy league this year.
I mentioned him last segment. He said, I got a couple texts from people. And I brought up, I was like, well, my dad's always told me, like, there's just this huge amount of Notre Dame following in South Greensburg.
Can you be an honorary member at the AMS club?
I was actually, like, a couple years ago, like right after
like
I turned 21.
A dues-paying member?
Yeah.
Look at you. This game, is the winning team, like, percentage chance the winning team in this game has less than 10 points? I don't think it's zero. I think this has the potential to be that Bama-LSU 9-6 game.
I think the winning team will have more than 17. If I had to guess the final score right now, I'm going to say Notre Dame 20, Georgia 10. So Georgia just squandered a drive. They were going to go up at least 3-0.
What was the number in this game?
The total?
Yeah.
I think it was in the 30s. Let me just double check that. I want to say it was 38.
That's like a Steelers game, man.
Total in the game. Oh, never mind. It was 45.
College football. Oof.